Welcome to the space show, Bruce.
Thanks very much.
There are a number of satellites in space that look at the Earth. These are called SPOT and Landsat. How exactly do they work?
Well, there's actually a range of other satellites. There is SPOT and Landsat, there's NOAA, there is the ERS-1 radar satellites. Basically, they're satellites that are orbiting the Earth about 700 to 900 kilometres above the Earth, and they have various sensors on them that allow recording of the Earth's surface in various wavelengths, in the visible, near-infrared, middle-infrared, thermal-infrared, and radar.
So, Bruce, how do you get this information back to Earth?
Most of the satellite data are recorded at a station at Alice Springs by the Australian Centre for Remote Sensing, and then that data, digitally recorded, is then sent to Canberra, where they put it onto computer tapes and you purchase it from them. Some of the data also comes through research projects involving various international bodies. NOAA data, for example, a number of groups have their own receiving facilities, and the Centre for Remote Sensing here has a receiving facility for NOAA data, so we can capture that, but other data we get mainly through ACRS.
So NOAA's the American weather satellite?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so what sort of programs do you have here analysing that information?
Well, we have a fairly sophisticated laboratory, probably the best laboratory in Australia in a university, and we process the data for a whole range of research projects and application projects involving urban monitoring, mapping, agricultural studies, pollution studies, and so on. So basically the digital data from the different wavelength intervals of the satellite can be examined and analysed, and then you get the computer to determine what is the particular land cover or agricultural type or pollution level, and from this we can then output map-like products that can be used by a decision maker to analyse that particular area.
So what sort of person would use this information?
Well, virtually your imagination can determine virtually whatever you want to use it for. People in the forestry, agriculture, urban monitoring, environmentalists, even banks determining whether land that they have under mortgage is being adequately used, and so on. So anything that has a requirement for spatial information can utilise remote sensing, but it really depends upon the resolution of the system and so on as to what level it can be used at.
And what size object can you see on the ground with this?
Well, it depends, again, on the system. The NOAA satellite has only a 1 kilometre resolution, right through to the French SPOT satellite, which has a 10-metre resolution on the ground. There are also military satellites that have much higher resolution, but that's not available commercially. So down to probably the order of about 10 metres on the ground, and you can record that about every 23 weeks, every 21 days, something of that order. It depends, again, on the system. There's a whole variety of systems that you can use.
So you'd just be able to see some of the larger buildings then?
Yes, that's right, although you can further process the data and take into account various spreading functions of the sensor system and process that out of the data and get higher resolution using various techniques.
Well, in Sydney, in the Sydney environment, how would you use the pictures?
Well, if we're using them over Sydney, obviously the change in the land use within a city, particularly the change in growth on the edge of a city, is something that is only recorded fairly infrequently, and so urban planners or decision makers in the city could be utilising this data every 6 months, for example, to determine the growth of the city, possible extension of population statistics to infill between the census dates that occur every 5 years.
Okay, and do you do any coastal monitoring and things like that? I know that you have a pollution problem here in Sydney. I know every time I come up here, I hear on the radio warnings about the amount of sewage in the beaches. Can you use the satellites to monitor that sort of situation?
Yes, we've been working with a number of visiting fellows from China on Landsat thematic mapper data, that's 30-metre resolution data, off the Sydney coast at the North Head sewerage outfall when they were initially putting it straight into the sea We're looking at pollution levels of sediment and chlorophyll and so forth, and also the particle sizes and its distribution. We're now working on a project. They're now putting the sewage further out to sea, and we're trying to determine whether the satellite data can allow us to monitor the pollution levels away from the coast. But it's being used quite successfully by some groups to monitor pollution levels.
So essentially what you're looking at is the colour change in the water?
Yes, the scattering of the light as it goes into the water will depend upon whether it's very clear water, whether it has algae in it, whether it has sediment or other material in the water.
And that's where most people have trouble understanding, of course, that you can actually see that from 800, 900 kilometres out in space.
Yes, obviously the atmosphere affects it a bit, but the resolution of these systems is such that you can see very good detail over an extensive area, and this is one of the benefits of the satellite system, that its repeatability and also the large areas that you can gather data from, you know, a way that is much more rapid and cost effective than you could by any other means.
One of the impressive things that you see when you fly into Sydney, of course, is coming across the Blue Mountains. Have you done any work on that forestry in that area?
Our group has done a little bit on forestry, but not in that particular area. We're doing some fairly advanced research looking at the what's called the radar backscatter from forest areas in Australia using microwave or radar satellite data, and this gives a totally different response to what we might get in the visible or the infrared, and that is being used to try and determine forest densities and other characteristics of our forests. And so there's a fairly extensive international program called IFIT, which is the International Forestry Inventory Team, which are working with people in Germany, in the United States, in Australia. So people who are associated with the centre are involved in that particular area. And also there are people in the School of Geography with forestry backgrounds that are linking remotely sensed data from forest areas into geographic information systems for particular management purposes.
You mentioned radar. Are you using the European Remote Sensing Satellite, which does have a radar?
Yes, we've got a number of our colleagues are principal investigators on that particular project, and they'll be acquiring data this year over selected investigation sites for a range of projects involving salinisation, soil moisture content, forest backscatter, and so on. And we're also still hoping to get some data from the Japanese JERS-1 satellite, but the radar at the present time, the antenna hasn't unfolded, so it's not gathering any radar data, but hopefully that will occur in the next few months.
Looking slightly further afield from Sydney, what about the rural or grassland areas? Are you doing anything?
Yes, we have a number of projects involving extensive agriculture, particularly in the drier grazing areas out in the west of New South Wales. Quite a lot of monitoring has been done, progressively monitoring an area over time, particularly with the NOAA satellite over large areas to determine the onset of drought and so on. And we're also seeking funding at the moment to undertake a range of training programs for farmers so that farmers can start utilising this data in their day-to-day management practices.
Talking of training, you obviously, being a university, are very much involved in training students. Do you train students in the use of the system?
Yes, we have a number of postgraduate programs, a graduate diploma, master's degrees and PhDs in remote sensing. This gives them a very broad knowledge of not only the principles of remote sensing, the physics and mathematics and so forth, the image analysis procedures, applications, ground investigation procedures and so on. So they do a full, in the master's degree and graduate diploma, a full one-year program that they come out with a very in-depth knowledge of remote sensing, but it's added on to their particular application area. They could be agriculturalists or surveyors or foresters or oceanographers or electrical engineers, computer scientists who want to get involved in that part of it. So we have probably about 20 or more going through each year, and something of the order of 5 to 10 PhD or doctoral candidates doing extensive research. And we have a lot of people from overseas as well in these courses.
I remember 20 years ago when Landsat was first put up, that you basically ordered a photograph. You got back a photograph, either black and white or in colour, if you could afford it, and you looked at that. Of course, things have changed a lot since then, haven't they?
Oh, yes, because most people now acquire the data in a digital form so that they can put it onto an image analysis system, and with the lower cost in PCs and so forth, most people can have a system that can statistically analyse the data in its digital form and process it in a way that is most interpretable for the particular application that you're looking at, so that you can get a lot more out of the data than just looking at a hard copy image, and you can enlarge it up to what resolution you want and do a lot more things than you could with just the hard copy image.
So in ordinary terms, you can adjust the colours, and you can also add in extra information, can't you?
Yes, you can add in extra information like roads and boundaries, but you can also enhance particular features such as vegetation or other characteristics that you're particularly interested in. So any sort of mathematical operation that you can do with numbers can now be applied to the various response from the different bands, which are just layers of numbers which represent the response from the Earth's surface in each particular resolution element.
In coming up here, I noticed that a number of the students that you have here come from Asia. Do you have any particular involvement with Asia other than training students from there?
Well, as you say, we have about 50% of our students from Asia, but we at the centre here have made a particular effort to be involved in the Asian community. I think this is something that is occurring across the whole facet of Australian activities, but we've been involved probably for about 10 years, running training programs in Asia, undertaking consultancy activities, becoming increasingly involved in the Asian Remote Sensing Association, which Australia is now a full member of, even though it's not an Asian country. We're currently running a program in the Philippines to upgrade the courses at the University of the Philippines, running short courses and setting up postgraduate programs. We've done similar activities in China, in Malaysia, and also in Indonesia. So we see it as part of our role, basically to assist our neighbours in this area, but in the long term, obviously, if they improve their economies by utilising their resources better, ultimately it's better for the whole region, and Australia being part of that region, it's of advantage to us as well.
Indeed, for the whole world.
Yes.
And that's what these satellites are all about, isn't it?
That's correct.
Well, thanks, Bruce, for joining us today on the Space Show.
Thank you.